this is Daryl Evans. Your passion for Jesus will be inspiring to others, so keep listening to today's Modern Worship on WMIE 91.5 FM.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, All Truth, All the Time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, coming to you from Island Community Church. Happy Friday to you. Thank God it's Friday. Thank you for spending 30 minutes of your Friday to join me as we together study the Word of Almighty God. We will be picking it up here this morning. We're in the book of Revelation, or I should say maybe this afternoon. Maybe you've tuned in at 5:30. This program is brought to you by the good people of Island Community Church. We are located at 1000 North Banana River Drive. It's Island Community Church. We're right here in Merritt Island. We are the church for our community, and we invite you to attend one of our services, and we meet again Sunday morning at 10:30. We meet Wednesdays for a much more informal service, midweek Bible study, Wednesdays at 6 o'clock. And I'm recording this Thursday. We had a great time last night. We're in the book of Galatians. We're going through verse by verse on Wednesday nights. 6 to 7, you are invited. We would love to see you. Sunday mornings at 10:30. This Sunday, I'm starting the book of Romans. Pretty much verse by verse, and we're kicking off right from the top. This will run through the end of the year. You are invited. We would love to see you. Here on the radio, we're up to chapter 12 this week. We've been going through verse by verse the book of Revelation, and prior to starting on that, just a little bit more info on this church. islandcommunitychurch.net is our website, and you can read more about us. Our statement of faith is on there. Really, that's the most important thing, is what does a church that you're considering visiting, what do they hold as truth? What do they believe about the Son of God, Jesus Christ? Because that's where the corruption always is. It's who Jesus is and the doctrine of Christ. That's one of my favorite sermons. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. What is it? What does a church believe about Jesus? That's uploaded on our statement of faith on our website. Learn more about us. Learn what we think, believe, and teach, and hold dear to our hearts about the Son of God. Now, Revelation, let me read this note here before we get started here. This comes from my Bible knowledge commentary. Now, for those of you that remember the other day, actually yesterday, wasn't it? Yes, yesterday, we left off looking at the last trumpet, and we were comparing the last trumpet and the things that happen at the last trumpet. Remember, at the sounding of the last angel, who has the last trumpet, it says the mystery of God would be finished. Then we looked at some of these texts on the rapture, how that phrase trumpet, 1 Corinthians 15:51 and 52 even says, last trumpet. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all change. We shall not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. So that's Revelation chapter 11, 15. Now, let me read this note to you. Though the last trumpet is recorded in chapter 11, verse 15, the details of what come out of the last trumpet are not revealed until chapter 16. Accordingly, chapters 12 through 15, we're about to start chapter 12 here momentarily. Accordingly, chapters 12 through 15 view the prophecies of the end times from another perspective and introduce the great personages. I didn't write that word. I'm reading this note. They introduce the great personages who are involved in the second half of the 7-year period. Many have pointed out that the seven Let's call them people. These seven people, Bible characters. Many have pointed out that these seven appear in chapters 12 and 13. First, a woman clothed with the sun, representing Israel. It's chapters 12, verses 1 and 2. Second, the red dragon with seven heads and 10 horns, representing Satan. Let me say that too, as we go through now, when we read here today and next week, when we get to chapter 13, remember, understand the symbol, you'll understand the book. So it's not important to know and understand who the seven heads are, who the 10 horns are. It's just important to understand that Satan is the one that's behind that. So when we see the Antichrist having seven heads and 10 horns, understand Satan is the one. He's the one behind the scenes pulling the strings. This last world government. And now it's easy to understand now when we look around that Satan is he's the ruler of this world. The Lord Jesus calls him that twice. John chapter 12, John chapter 14, he called him the prince or the ruler, archegon, the ruler of this world. No one understands that the devil himself is the one that's responsible for the world system and running the governments out here in the world today. Seven heads and 10 horns. When we see it, understand it's referring to the devil behind the scenes because you can't see him. But he is the power that's behind the scenes here. So, seven characters. The woman clothed with the sun represents Israel. The red dragon with seven heads and 10 horns represents Satan. That's verses 3 and 4. The male child representing Christ. That's verses 5 through 6. The archangel Michael casting Satan out of heaven. That's verses 7 through 12. Number 5, the offspring of the woman persecuted by the dragon. Verses 13 through 17. Number 6, the beast out of the sea, the future world dictator. That's chapter 13, verses 2 through 10. And lastly, the beast of the earth, the false prophet. That's chapter 13, verses 11 through 18. These chapters do not advance the narrative chronologically, but they present events and situations that are concurrent with the soundings of the trumpets. Chronological progress of the events resumes in chapter 16. That's a great note here from the Bible Knowledge Commentary. The chronological order doesn't resume again until we get to chapter 16. So these events are not in chronological order here. I mean, we're seeing the birth of the Messiah. Well, let's get to chapter 12 now. Lord God, we come to you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. It's in his name we approach you. Lord, in Jesus' name, we pray for wisdom, understanding, and spiritual understanding and guidance out of your word here today, Lord. Draw close to us as we draw close to you. Speak to us through your word. Help us, equip us, and empower us and enable us to be doers of your word. Bless us today with discernment. Help us to understand all that is available for us in this age to understand. We praise you now, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, let's pick it up here. Revelation chapter 12, verse 1. So a great sign appeared in heaven. A woman having been clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. All right, the woman is the picture of Israel. Remember, this book of Revelation here, after the end of chapter 3, there's no more references to the church. This is God's plan with Israel. When you go back and read Jeremiah back in the Old Testament, the great prophet Jeremiah, chapter 30, verse 7, he called it the time of Jacob's trouble, this book of this end times here. That's why a few chapters back, remember, we read that there was 12,000 or 144,000 Jews that had the seal of God on them. Don't confuse this with the church. This is specifically showing you that these are Jews. God's dealing with the nation of Israel again. In Romans chapter 12, we read that the deliverer will come out of Zion. And it says, all Israel will be saved. God's going to resume his plan with them when he's done with us Gentiles. Blindness in part has happened to Israel until the full number of the Gentiles has come in. Come into what? Into the kingdom, into the fold. The last unbelieving Gentile who's going to hear the gospel. Remember, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The last number out here is going to hear this, maybe from you, maybe from the radio. Maybe you invite a friend to church and they're going to hear that God loves them and that salvation is available through God's Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, that with the heart one believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's the power of the word of God. The message of the cross is the dynamite of God. The time is coming when the last Gentile is going to believe. And then when that happens, then we're going to see God resume his plan with the nation of Israel. And the scary thing is that just like the Lord said, that the door will be shut. And as God resumes his plan with the nation of Israel, I don't see any Gentile coming into the faith anymore. That's why the Bible says today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. And now is the accepted time. Behold, now, the Apostle Paul says, now is the day of salvation. So a great sign appeared in heaven, Revelation 12. A woman, having been clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. The 12 stars, we believe, are the 12 sons of Jacob, or the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, in these first six verses, what we see here is an inside glimpse of the battle between good and evil is what this is. It's a little inside baseball here. We're getting another view of the struggle that has transpired throughout the years of the mad attempt by the devil through Herod, the so-called great, to kill the Christ child and to make sure that he killed him. Remember, he ordered the death of everyone. It was like under 2 years old in Bethlehem. He had everyone killed because of the fight that's going on behind the scenes between good and evil. Let's look at a little bit more of this fight. Then, being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. The child's the Christ child, Jesus Christ, a son of Israel, so to speak, and a son of David. All right, now in this part of this vision, John saw that a woman, Israel, was pregnant and was about to give birth to the Messiah. When Mary gave birth to a tiny baby in Bethlehem, the entire universe took notice, for this event held cosmic significance. This picture also symbolizes the nation of Israel agonizing for centuries as it awaits the coming Messiah, the deliverer who would destroy evil and usher in God's eternal kingdom. Now, verse 3, and another sign. The first sign is the woman clothed with the sun, pregnant. The second sign is verse 3. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his heads. All right, now we don't need to speculate who this dragon is, because the Bible's going to tell us as much. It tells us exactly who this is. Remember, we understand the symbol and we understand the book. And sometimes when there's difficult things to understand here, he shows us and he says it flat out in plain, ordinary terms. Let me show you where the Bible Let's go to chapter 20 if you're able to follow with me. If you have a Bible, if not, just keep on tuning in here on this Friday. Revelation chapter 20, verse 1, it says, "Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and he bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit, and he shut him up and set a seal on him, so that he should not deceive the nations no more, so that he should deceive the nations no more until the 1,000 years was finished." So Satan is Hebrew for adversary. Diabolos is Greek for slanderer or a false accuser. That's what Satan does, right? As we get later on to chapter 12, he's going to call him the accuser, the Diabolos of the brethren. Only time he tells the truth, right, is when he reminds God of your sins and mine. Why lie if he's going to talk about our sins? We're sinners. What are we going to do? Thank God, enter in the Son of God here, who died for our sins, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Yeah, that's right, devil. I'm a sinner. I was a sinner, but praise God, greater is he that is in me now than he who is in the world. That's right, I was a sinner, but Jesus Christ and his blood obliterates my sin. So you can talk all you want, but that's not the end of the story. Call me a sinner, go ahead, but that's not the end of the story. I've been redeemed. I've been set free. I've been delivered. My sins have been obliterated. Don't forget to remind God of that. Don't forget to remind God that my sins and my lawless deeds, he will remember no more. So while you're accusing God of my sins, he's going to say, "What sins is that, devil? What sins are those?" Because according to the word of God, as Hebrews chapter 8 quotes Jeremiah chapter 31, that my sins and my lawless deeds, God will remember no more, because praise God, due to the Son of God, Almighty God has amnesia with my sins. He doesn't remember. That's what he says himself. Praise God. So you might be the accuser of the brethren, but that's only half the story, you see. The other half of the story is that the blood of Jesus Christ has obliterated my sin, and I can walk out of here forgiven, as pure as the driven snow, at least for a couple minutes, right? Let's move on here. Verse 3, we're in Revelation. For those who are just joining us here, we're about 17 minutes past the hour, past the half hour. We're in the book of Revelation. We're in chapter 12. We're looking at this apocalyptic scene here. We're looking at this symbolic, it's the word I'm looking for. Man, oh man, we've got to understand the symbol here. The book of Revelation's talking about Israel. It was talking about the church up until the end of chapter 3. Remember, that was a division. He told John, write the things that you saw and the things which are and the things which shall be. The things which he saw was when he was up in heaven and he saw this glimpse of the Lord Jesus. He fell on his face like a dead man. And he gave us this awesome view of the splendor of the King, clothed in majesty. Let all the earth rejoice. Then he dictated seven letters to give to the pastors, the messengers of seven churches. And then after that, the church age is done. Now God is dealing with the nation of Israel. And that's why it's 144,000 Jews that are sealed and have the seal of God on their forehead. These are Jews. There's no more mention of the church here anymore. I know I'm not a pre-tribulation guy, but I'll tell you what. God promises that to everyone who overcomes, I will keep them out of the hour of trial that's going to come upon the whole world. I know this, that the Lord Jesus said, in his Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will receive you unto myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. This I know, that you and I and all believers in Jesus Christ are returning with him when we get to chapter 19. This I know, you and I will take part in the marriage supper of the Lamb that's going to be in heaven prior to the end of the age here. So this is Israel. There's no more church mentioned here. This is God's plan with Israel. And many of them, the Bible says, Paul said, and all Israel will be saved because the deliverer will come out of Zion. And this is my plan with them when I take away their sins. Concerning the gospel, he says they are enemies. But concerning election, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers, for the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. God's not done with the nation of Israel. He's waiting for maybe your son or your daughter or your coworker to come to the faith. Then he says in Luke 13, 24, Matthew chapter 25, Genesis chapter 7, verse 16, the time is coming when he's going to get up and he's going to shut the door. And then he'll start this plan that we're looking at with the nation of Israel, not with the Gentiles, because the times of the Gentiles is going to be fulfilled. That's why anytime you hear and read in prophecy the word Gentile, you're always going to find there the word until. Until. Luke 21, 24, Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Revelation chapter 11, verse 2, don't measure the outer court. It's been given to the Gentiles. They will trample the holy city underfoot until, or for, 42 months. Romans 11, 25, blindness will happen, in part has happened to Israel until the full number of the Gentiles has come in. The Gentiles has an expiration date, like a carton of milk. The time is coming when God is going to shut the door and there'll be no more Gentiles entering into the kingdom. That's why there's such an urgency for you to believe the gospel today while it's still today. Now, if God wants to let people in after he shuts the door, he's God. He does as he pleases. He doesn't need to run that by me. I'm just showing you what the word of God says. He says, strive to enter in through the narrow gate, because many, I say to you, will try to get in and will not be able. Once the master of the house has risen up and shuts the door, he says, many will try to get in and will not be able. I'm just going by the word of God. I'm just the preacher here sharing with you on this Friday that the time is coming that God is going to shut the door. And when he does, people are still going to want to get in, but they will not be able. Matthew chapter 25 as well, it says those that were ready went in with him to the feast. Marriage feast, I believe. That's the parable was of a wedding. Those that were ready went in with him to the feast. And it says then, it says that the door was shut. And just like Luke 13, 24, there were still people. They came afterwards. They knocked at that door. They said, okay, Lord, I'm ready now. And he said, I don't know you. And he said, I don't even know where you live. Let not the Lord say that about you today. That the Lord Jesus Christ, he doesn't even know where you live. Does the Lord know where you live? Does he have your home address of your heart? Not your house, but your home. Have you invited the Lord into your home? Remember, he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He said, open up. And he says, I will come and sup with him. He'll have dinner with you. Let me encourage you here today on this Friday. Does the Lord Jesus Christ know where you live? Let him in today while it's still today. The time is running out. Naturally, even if I'm still wrong, I'm not wrong, because we read in the Bible that now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. And there's coming a time when this last seat is going to be filled in the kingdom. Let me encourage you. Ensure that you have taken your seat today by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Apostle Paul also says, for with the heart one believes. That is, do you believe Jesus Christ as Lord? He wants you to receive him today. As many as received him, to them he gave them the authority or the power or the right, depending on how you translate that Greek word, exousia. He's given you the power, he's given you the authority, and you have the right here today on this Friday to be a child and one of the sons of God. To as many as receive him, as many as call on the name of the Lord, for all who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let me encourage you on this Friday to make sure you do that. Make sure you reserve and you take your seat in the kingdom. There's a great big banquet hall up there, and there's a little placard on there like a wedding. If you've ever been invited to a wedding before, sometimes they got a little card there and they've got your name on it. That's what Peter says. That's what it's going to look like up there, that your seat is reserved in heaven. We'll pick it up here again. We're in Revelation chapter 12. We'll pick it up here on Monday as we continue this look here on this, on this, what's going on up in heaven, the cosmic struggle and fight between good and evil that John has given us a little inside baseball glimpse into. We'll pick it up there on Monday. I'd love to see you guys at church here this weekend. We're going to be in Romans chapter 1. We're really going to look at the spirit of holiness that you and I have. All Christians possess the spirit of holiness. Love to see you on Sunday. That's what we're going to look at here. You are listening to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.